From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Implicit Trust. The text is Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 18. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Behold the protecting power of trust in God. The great men of Jerusalem fell by the sword, but poor Ebed-Melech was secure, for his confidence was in Jehovah. Where else should a man trust but in his Maker? We are foolish when we prefer the creature to the Creator. Oh, that we could in all things live by faith! Then should we be delivered in all time of danger. No one ever did trust in the Lord in vain, and no one ever shall. The Lord saith, I will surely deliver thee. Mark the divine surely. Whatever else may be uncertain, God's care of believers is sure. God Himself is the guardian of the gracious. Under His sacred wing there is safety, even when every danger is abroad. Can we accept this promise as sure? Then in our present emergency we shall find that it stands fast. We hope to be delivered because we have friends, because we are prudent, or because we can see hopeful signs. But none of these things are one half so good as God's simple, because thou hast put thy trust in me. Dear friend, try this way, and trying it, you will keep to it all your life. It is as sweet as it is sure.
Thank you.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called The Bible, Our Most Precious Treasure, as he continues these studies in the book of Romans. As the Apostle Paul opens chapter 3 of Romans, he asked a question, What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? In verse 2, Paul answers, Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. These oracles were the entirety of the Old Testament scriptures. An oracle is an utterance, and in this case it is God's utterance to make known to all men what is the divine will. In other words, the Bible, and the Bible alone, is God's written revelation. It speaks to us with God's own authority. Furthermore, God has seen to it that His word has been preserved down through the ages. He intends it to be of blessing and benefit to both Jews and Gentiles. Indeed, the Holy Bible is the greatest blessing we have, for it reveals to us all of God's truth. May the Lord help us to love it, to learn it, and to live it.
Lord, I'm a Christian. There's nothing more natural in the world for me to thank my prophet in the Bible. There are things that you can do that for relaxation, There are things that you may do that will turn off an overheated brain. But let me tell you, anything that destroys your hunger for God's Word or your happiness in God's Word is the devil's instrument to destroy you. Use it for your profit. Let me ask you, have you profited from the Bible today, on this Sabbath day? Have you profited from the Bible during the last week? Have you feasted on Scripture any time this year? Have you got any benefit out of God's Word? Preachers have reduced the whole application of their message to Christians nowadays. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. I'm all for you reading the Bible and I'm all for you praying. But I would say to you, or ask you, as Philip did the Ethiopian eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? You know you can read to quell your guilty conscience. You can read the Bible the way you would scan the columns of the Greenville News. In fact, you can read it with a whole lot less attention than that. Have you benefited from God's Word? But then He gave it to them not only for their own benefit, but to preserve it and to publish it. The 68th Psalm, verse 11, has a beautiful statement. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company. The Hebrew is the army. Great was the army of those that published it. The Lord gave the word. Great was the army of those that published it. God gave the Jews the word, not just for their benefit. Yes, it was for that, but to preserve that word. That was a sacred trust. And I would say we owe a great debt of gratitude to the grace of God that He worked, and to the Jewish people for maintaining for us a pure and holy Scripture. In the New Testament, Paul felt this a sacred trust, a very heavy trust, mind you. Do you remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 4? Verses 1 and 2, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He says, brethren, as an apostle, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. That's the doctrine of the gospel. That's the Scriptures. I'm a steward of these. I said a few minutes ago that I believe that the key to the canon of the Old Testament was the life and the ministry of the Old Testament prophets. The key to the canon of the New Testament Scriptures, no matter what you've been taught in Bible class and no matter what you've read in books on the subject, the key to it is the life and the ministry of Christ's apostles. It is not for nothing that God kept John alive till almost 100 A.D. and the canon of Scripture was complete before God took His apostles away. But it's not just the apostles who had to do this. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Literally, guard the deposit. Guard the deposit. Stand guard over what God has given you, which is the deposit of divine truth. But it's not just Timothy and the ministers. This is for every Christian. Do you remember what Jude said? He said, we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to whom? To the saints to the saints. Now, it has often been, I think, rather unfairly said, God delivered his truth to the saints, not to the scholars. I think that's a bit unfair. God helped the world if the Greek text had been committed to you or me. Unless you're talking about Mike Barrett or somebody. You know, for the rest of us, it would have been a lost cause. I'm thankful for the work of godly scholars. But ultimately, the faith is committed to the whole church. Contend for the faith. Receive this word. Defend this word. Publish it. That's our trust. And that will let me finish very quickly with the final point. The treatment that God expected the Jews to accord to his word. That is obvious from the fact it was their chief benefit. While the Jews diligently preserved the word of God, one thing sticks out here, as we would say in Ireland, like a sore thumb. It sticks out, you can't help but see it. And that is, they did not see having the scriptures as their chief blessing. They talked about circumcision, their Jewishness, all those things. Paul says, no, the greatest treasure you have, and that we have, is your Bible. Now, how should you treat it, if that's true? Well, first, esteem it for its unique value. It's better than anything else you possess. What he's saying to them, you talk about circumcision, here's something better than circumcision. Circumcision is a sacrament of great value only if you keep the law. Where do you find the law? In your Bible. The scripture is of greater value than any sacrament because it's only from the scripture that we can even learn the meaning of the sacrament. If you divorce the sacraments from scripture, you end up in superstition and idolatry. Witness the Church of Rome and its Mass. It took the simple sacrament of the Lord's Supper and it brought it down into the superstition and idolatry of a sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead. Why? Because it divorced the sacrament from the scripture. When you lose the primacy of scripture, doctrine will be corrupted, practice will be corrupted, and Christianity will give place to anti-Christianity. It's better than your circumcision. But think of this. These were the people who had come through the Red Sea. They'd seen the waters stand up in a heap. Would that not be what set the Jews apart from everybody else? Well, that's great. You've seen great miracles. But Scripture is better than seeing miracles. Do you know that miracles can be simulated? Didn't that happen in Egypt? When Moses did his first miracles, the magicians of Egypt did the very same thing. You can be misled by miracles. In fact, in Deuteronomy 13, you are told, if a prophet comes to lead you away from the truth of the scripture, and he backs up his theory with a miracle, disregard him and go with the book. That's what God is teaching in Deuteronomy 13. Is better even than the milk and honey of Canaan. The Jews were blessed in the land that God gave them, a land that flowed with milk and honey, of the former and the latter rain, of hills and valleys, of plenty and of great harvests. But here is treasure that is greater than all the wealth of earth. Psalm 19 verse 10 speaks of the judgments and statutes of the Lord. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. If this is true, how should you treat this book? Love it. Love it. Isn't it easy to say that? But how few of us really love the Bible? How few of us really love the Bible? love it. Learn it. You're not going to learn the Bible by osmosis. You're not going to learn the Bible without investing time, energy, and effort. Some of you, I've said, are graduating. Now, unless you're an absolute genius, you've sweated blood, sweat, and tears to get there. And if you haven't, your professors think they have failed in their job. You've stayed up nights. You've risen early in the mornings. You've bent every faculty to learn. Why would we not learn the Scriptures? Love it, learn it, and then live it. The psalmist said, Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than the honeycomb. So esteem it for its unique value. Cherish its complete message, the truth of God and our duty to God. Receive its crowning truth, which is Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith in the merits of his righteousness and blood shedding. Follow its guidance and its precepts. Believe and act upon its promises. And proclaim its glorious gospel to the ends of the earth. Now here is the Bible. There's nothing to compare to it. Some may be shocked that I say this. Our English idiom may be depleted, but the world would not be any one little bit different had William Shakespeare never lived or never written. There's nothing like this book. Queen Victoria is supposed to have said it is the secret of England's greatness. I don't know about England's greatness, I'm not going to fight about that. I can say it is the greatest gift England ever gave to the English-speaking world, the translation of this book. All the good in the world has followed where the Bible has gone before. When Thomas Paine showed Benjamin Franklin his Age of Reason, Franklin advised him not to publish it. For he said, the world is bad enough with the Bible. For Paine was attacking the Bible. What would it be like without it? Sadly, we are beginning to find out the answer to that question. For what was written of the Jews of old is unfortunately true of America today and Britain today. And even the church today. Hosea 8 verse 12. I have written unto them the great things of my law. And they were counted as a strange thing. The Jews had the Bible. They had the word. But they didn't take it to heart. They didn't grasp its central message. Listen. They had the Bible. But they rejected the Christ, who is the very heartbeat of the Bible. Do not make that mistake. And never again take this book of books for granted. For this is the most cherished gift that God has given to man. This is the oracles of God.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.